Stop looking ahead. You're ruining the surprises.
Okay, then I'll stop looking ahead. Your agendas are actually pretty.
Pretty? Oh, so pretty?
Oh, so pretty and witty and wise.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 67th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for mid-March 2017. In this episode, we have a lot of fan interaction, and maybe even a rant. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of this show. Now on to the episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 67, for mid-March 2017. We have so much news we have to get out before AdeptCon, so we have another episode. So it's a bonus in middle of the month episode. And this one, we have a lot of news, and we have some a lot of interaction with the fans. So, I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And let's get this show on the road. And hopefully Jack's computer doesn't decide to update halfway through the show.
Yeah, Windows 10's got a mind of its own. It's treating me like a redheaded stepchild right now. So let's just pray. All of us just gather together, hold hands, and pray.
And yeah. So we got some news. As always, it seems like lately we have some more Star Saga concept pictures. And this time, the first one we have is a Marauder Merc. And he's very purple, and he's heavily armored.
He's got some experimental-looking vials across his back and some gauges and tubes.
He reminds me of like a, I don't know if it's an Iron Man villain or somebody who's got that color purple with iron with armor looks like that. Somebody looks like that. And then he got that face thing, looks like a knight's armor. His snout hole.
Yeah, it's not ringing any bells for me. Oh, No, you would recognize that color purple if I must be wrong.
The color purple? Is it Whoopi Goldberg?
Oprah Winfrey. That's who this reminds me of, is Oprah Winfrey. No, like a sentinel, like Nimrod.
That
color purple?
Not so much Nimrod, he's more white, but yeah, regular Sentinel, it is that kind of color purple. You're right. Maybe that is what I'm thinking of.
Mm.
You might have hit the nail on the head there. But he's got a pistol, and he looks like he's got some kind of weapon on his other arm. And he does, yeah, he's got some gas mask going on. See? They're listening to us. Orcs should always wear gas masks so we don't have to see their hideous faces.
And you know what? I can see just his black beady eyes, and that's all I need to see. I hope they mass produce those heads so all of the orcs can have that face mask.
Yeah, that's right. Or yeah. I do think we should just rip off the heads of all of our orcs. We've always said we should do it, but we should just go to like Secret Weapons or someone, buy a bunch of heads and re-head them all.
Or just leave them headless.
It would be an improvement. Next is a rat man. His name is Thorn, and he looks like a rat man. He looks like a male version of the broodmother. Actually, he got the armored tail and the much more armored version of the rats.
Yeah, they're pretty armored. The rats are, but again, he's got all the little pouches and junk and tools and nonsense hanging off of him.
Yep. Once again. Gas masks. The rats love gas masks.
They do.
Yep. And his one arm looks, I don't know if it's supposed to look robotic, but the other arm's got like big claws, but the gray arm looks like almost like he lost his arm and got a robot arm. Or do you think that's his real arm?
I don't know. A little bit.
But he is a rat man. And he's got red beady eyes.
His face looks like a GW goblin. The color they chose, the red eye, the green skin, and the...
I don't think it's skin. I think that's more armor. They just painted it green.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, the goblin, yeah. That would be his skin.
Well, that's it for the Star Saga news. Let's move into some Mantic news, because Mantic finally listened to us, and they're starting to sell bits on their website. And they have bits from all different other ranges, but we'll just talk about the Dead Zone ones. And they are selling separately the Strider Burst Laser Upgrade Pack, which gives you, you can turn your Strider into a Burst Laser guy. And it's metal, and it's £499 or $749 for the US dollars. It seems expensive, but if you really want a Burst Laser, they offer it now.
Yeah, everyone's been modeling the Burst Lasers from the terrain packs, and they've worked out to various degrees of success. I've seen them done really well, but if you don't want to get into that, it's right there. You pay for the convenience, and it'll look dynamite. So there it is. It's a good idea. If it's in the rules that that item exists, then you have to offer it.
Yeah. There's other ones here. We'll talk about the pricing afterwards. But they also have the Forge Father Iron Ancestor Doomstron Cannon Upgrade Pack, which is the same gun you get with the Iron Ancestor now, but it's the other arm, so you can have two of these. Which, you know, and that one's £399 or $649 US. And they have the Heavy Support Enforcer Heavy Support Upgrade Pack, which is all the missile launchers. We got one of those with our Warpath pledge.
Yes.
Once again, just metal bits and more rocket launchers. And that is £499 or $749 US. And then a neat one is that this is something unique that I don't think we got anywhere, is the Enforcer Breach and Eradicate Upgrade Pack. It's the fusion rifle, and then lots of arms carrying, looks like, grenades.
I think they're supposed to be landmines. I think they're for the engineer.
It could be landmines, but I think they're, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe some are grenades, because some are round and some are flat, I think.
Either way, no one's going to use them unless the mining, the rules and the way the whole thing works changes drastically.
Yeah.
But the fusion gun looks neat.
It does. But once again, £499 or $749 for US. But at least this, you get, what, five different arms. It's that's the only one that's almost worth it for the price. I just think the prices, I think they're just too expensive. Like, I understand they're all individually cast, so you're paying for that. And it's a niche market, like you also said, that if you need it, you need it, right? So.
Right. Any of this other stuff you can either mod yourself or, you know, we've done all kinds of crazy things. We've licked toads and then went to town with our modeling skills and woke up
on that later.
oh dear. Am I doing a faux pas?
No, you're what you're doing is foreshadowing.
Oh, a little teaser. I'm teasing y'all.
But to, I don't know, for an arm for an Iron Ancestor to be, well, I guess I'm sure GW would sell that for $50, though. I guess we can't complain it's only $6 when the model costs $20, I think, something like that.
And I'm sure there are people who are just clamoring to get to pay that price right now, and they're just like, stop deriding my Iron Ancestor's second arm option.
Yeah, I like the way they're going, and maybe we're just cheap, but yeah. It's,
you're not cheap.
Well, I am. But you know I am. It has to be within a certain price range for me to start buying things.
That is true. That is true. And actually, by your rules, by the Rob Harper rules of purchasing and acquisition, mm-hmm. Trademarked, it has to be $1 a model. And you're not...
That's for Kickstarters, yeah.
You're not even anywhere close on any of these where it would be... In that sweet spot for you, so.
Yeah, it's true. But like you say, if you really want it and you have that extra cash, I'm sure you'll sell some.
Yeah.
And that's also on their website. I'm sure if a third party sells them, they usually sell them cheaper, so. Next bit of news we have is the, pre-orders for Warpath are coming out. Operation Heracles, or Hercules, I think it's Heracles, we have the cover for it, which is cool. It shows, what is that? Orcs versus Enforcers. I think that's what the cover looks like.
Yes.
And, that's the Warpath, starter box pretty much. And it's going to be available April 22nd. And it's going to be £50 or $80 US. And that has the two battle groups in it. You can go on to their website and see what that has. We'll have the links in the show notes. You can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see those. And all the pictures. But, yeah, Operation Heracles. And then they also have the, we actually had the list of what's actually in there.
Yeah, but now I'm looking, the cover has,
That wasn't the cover art. I guess that's just a piece of art for Warpath. The cover art, yeah, it looks like some enforcers just shooting at people. Because we do have the picture of it here. Because I was going to say the box set is dwarves versus enforcers. That's why I found it weird that that was the cover. But I am wrong. This is the cover.
And I'm man enough to admit when you're wrong as well. It says right on the thing, the box art, Forge Fathers, enforcers. It only shows the enforcers, but... And it does. We've got a list of everything that's in there. And really, if you wanted to make a Dead Zone Strike team, there's more than enough of both to get yourself started.
You will get some dice and counters and stuff for Warpath in there. But yeah, it's because it's got 8 command dice for Warpath and all these counters. But importantly, it has 5 hard plastic enforcers with weapon options. 5 Pathfinders in a dog drone, 5 Peacekeepers with weapon options, and a Peacekeeper Captain, 10 Steel Warriors, 6 Forge Guard, and a Huskarl, and also a Yuton weapons platform, I don't think that's even in, I don't think there's rules for that in Dead Zone.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
It shows how much we care about dwarves.
Or actually using the weapons platforms. I'm sure if we had one and we painted one, it would have made it on the table, but just to proxy one.
We have tons of those. We got tons of Jotuns.
That you've painted up? And
yeah, we got them back in the day with the crazy boxes.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a few of those. But once again, though, how often we use vehicles for any of the races, really? Like wiener cannons and stuff for the Geermans. But let's see. I'm actually looking up I don't believe it is. I definitely don't believe it is. No. The vehicle options for the dwarves are Inferno Drill, Brocker Bike, Iron Ancestor, and Thor Pattern Iron Ancestor. So for some reason, the Jotun isn't in there, even though the Marauders have a weapons platform like that, and so do the Rats. So for some reason, the Jotun never made it into Dead Zone. But what you gonna do? And they also make a Operation Heracles Mega Set, which is pretty much the same thing. You just get almost double or maybe even triple of some things. And you get a Strider, so you get an Iron Ancestor and a Strider for the units also. So if you're looking to make a lot more options for $100 or $150 US or £100 or $150 US, you can get the Mega Set. And right now, all pre-orders, you get a free out of print Forge Father Huskarl with him, and he's the old style Huskarl from the original Warpath, I believe. And he's funny looking. He looks like Santa Claus.
he does, now that you mention it. I was looking at him going, oh, he kind of has like a Civil War general look to him.
He does a bit, yeah.
Like he would have a nickname like Stonewall, but now that you said Santa Claus, he does have that. He's a jolly old elf.
He is indeed. Well, that does it for the news, I think. So we'll come back after this ad, and we'll do some shout-outs.
Shout-outs.
Dreadpath Zone. Dreadpath Zone is a YouTube channel dedicated to the Warpath universe by Mantic Games. Dead Zone, Warpath, Firefight, Dreadball, and Star Saga Battle Reports, unboxings, how-tos, and much, much more. Full of banter, ridiculous dice rolls, and the love for the hobby. So go check out Dreadpath Zone on YouTube or Facebook, and remember, keep rolling eights.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone the Podcast.
It is shout outs time.
Hey everybody, welcome back.
That was the weirdest welcome back I've heard in a while. And it is shoutouts time. And this time, well, we actually need to maybe do a Well, we don't want to put any more stuff on Wintergreen's plate. If you watch the video that we posted on YouTube, you can go to our YouTube channel to see that. Wintergreen, he's not the most cooperative person on the planet.
He's slightly hard of hearing, and to explain at the best of times, talking to him through via the telephone, it's a bit arduous. But to then start asking of him to embrace the latest technologies, and then now you're just that's one bridge too far. That's Icarus heading, you know, ever higher towards the sun. Daedalus saying no, just above the water, just below the sun. And Icarus, you know, feeling like a god, just flying ever skyward gleefully. And then, you know, we all know how that ends. The Minotaur is born.
And that was Mythology Corner with Jack. I was going to say we were going to get him to record a Patreon Nameless Top Hats and Monocles Club intro. But maybe if we did it phonetically, he'd be able to just read it.
Well, we'll get him in and we'll just, you know, in person. Like, you tried to call him. And unless you go down to the home and, you know, speak to him in person, you'd get him out, get him his Timmies, get him out and, you know, walk him around a little bit, get him into the studio. Infinitely easier than trying over the phone. Infinitely easier.
Yeah, that's why I leave him to you. Anyways, Here's our Patreon Nameless and Top Hats and Monocles Club is got a new member. And that's Andrew Webb. Thank you, Andrew, for pledging to Patreon. You're the newest member. And
thank you.
Membership, it has no benefits, but thank you.
Oh, wait, I'm getting a psychic. Andrew Webb. Andrew, someone wants to talk to you. That it's a dearly departed. I think it's an aunt. She's saying she sees what you do at night by yourself. The dirty things very sinful things. She says it's okay. It's okay. It's natural. And she says, me gusta. I don't even know what that means. Oh, she's saying, no, I have to say it like this. Me gusta. Again, I don't know what that means. Anyways, Andrew, that,
That was very odd and out of nowhere, but thank you. Thank you for your mediumship.
yes. That was, I think that's the perk of the Hats and Monocles Club. Just my medium skills, my spiritual guidance via the dearly departed.
Well, we'll have to go over the other members, and you'll have to go back and read them since so far it's only been Andrew that you've done that for.
Oh, I can't guarantee.
When it strikes you, Cleo?
Yeah, it's not like I could just whip up these things. Then someone might suspect it was perhaps a fraudulent, you know, connection, or maybe even just like farcical.
Don't think so. They don't know you well enough. We know how spiritual you are in real life, Jack. So you're very connected.
I just had the icy cold grip of a dearly departed aunt touch my nethers and moved my mouth like a puppet. So, you know, let's not besmirch.
So should I put some some echo on your voice and some spooky wind behind you when you're doing that?
No. Again, this isn't a circus, Rob.
We're not punching you up for TV?
For TV?
didn't I tell you?
Yeah, we're letting that cat out of the bag. We've got a new show in which we do all kinds of skits and comedy. We have Colin Mockery on board, and we wanted Alan Thicke, but then his unfortunate passing,
He still can be, because you're a medium, remember?
Oh, God, damn you. See, it basically writes itself. Anyways, this is a tangent in the shout-out section. I don't believe it was necessary, but please go on. Yes, thank you, Andrew Webb, and that's amazing.
I hope we didn't insult any of your dead family members.
No.
So the next shout out is for Douglas Thoyne. We've had Douglas on before. He's on Twitter @DouglasThoyne, And he said he painted up some scatter terrain, and it took him less than an hour for all three. And he said it feels good to be back painting. And he painted up a generator, one of those radar dishes, and I think that's a Mars Attacks garbage bin, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it's a, yeah, okay. Or a skip, as they say.
Some people do say that.
Yeah. We haven't heard from Douglas in a while, and that's, you know, that's always a good sign when our old faithfuls, our companions, stop by and say hi.
Yep. He also painted up Warpath Blaine, which I just did recently. He's looking good. That blue he used, it reminds me of Tester's paint. Remember Tester's paint?
Yes.
And that I think I had a blue that was just like that. It had that almost like sparkle to it.
Like a metallic blue that you would use on a on like a car.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like how he did the weapon, like it's a bone.
I was going to mention that as well, because you said it looked like he had torn the head off of something and skinned it and stuck it on a weapon. And that is exactly, it looks like a Skeksy head.
We've discussed this, I believe, in the last video. I think I did if you go onto YouTube, there is Easter eggs once in a while, and there might have been a picture of a Skeksy impaled on Blaine's weapon.
Oh, no, Gelfling.
You said the exact same thing. I think you just like doing it.
I think the Chancellor is my spirit animal. If someone were to ask me,
and yep, you got a back shot of him, nice backpack and his furs.
Like if someone were to ask me, what's your spirit animal? I'm just saying.
And you'd say that, and everybody'd be like, "What are you talking about?" And then you'd have to say, "You know, Dark Crystal," and they're like, "That movie was made before I was born." And then they,
I'm just like saying, like if someone were just to ask me, like
Jack, you know,
like,
what's your spirit animal?
Oh, it would be the Chancellor, the Skeksis from the Dark Crystal.
I see. And he also did a one of those battlements kind of thing. He made a little embattlement with the dead zone terrain, the walls. They're not walls. What are those things? Barricades, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
He made a little encampment.
The armored sections, which. With the angles and stuff, looks like how they just released a small set that had the, you know, the burst laser and some of the walls, and they had like that curved sections like that. And well, not only is it good for terrain to play on as like just a block line of sight and stuff, but it looks like if you have that and some of the other battle systems terrain built up, it blends in, and I think it works better than the walls that come with the game. But that's just me.
Well, I like this because it's got those openings, so you can get more line of sights from there. It's not just a wall, so you can see through it a bit.
Exactly.
Unless you're a goblin, then you can't see anything.
That's true. But he's got some rust on there, some blood on there. It looks like... Yeah.
Looking good.
Looks dirty and used and lived in.
That is our aesthetic for our terrain.
You know, all I see is a tin of what must have contained Christmas cookies at one point, and I now want a tea and a Christmas cookie.
No. We also got a message from...
Like a little shortbread? Oh.
We also got a message from one of our Top Hat Monocles people. He actually emailed us, and he said... Robin Jack, he said he has a set of Dead Zone second edition tokens, but he's accessed to buy two sets of the first edition tokens for $5 each. Are they worth it? And it says that his understanding that some tokens represent rules that are no longer in the second edition, and it would be any use to pick up the first edition sets cheap. And then we have some pictures of what the first edition set has. It does have objective counters, reload counters, activated markers, and command tokens. As well as injury counters, suppressed counters, enraged counters, and overwatch counters. So I'd say, 90% or, well, at least 50% are useless now. At least in Dead Zone.
That's, yeah.
Because objectives are points now.
The reload counters would work. Activation counters would work for, you know, because you do have to keep track of who's activated. The command tokens, no.
Injury counters, yes.
Blood,
yeah.
Yes.
Suppress no, because you
enraged.
Just enraged and suppressed.
There's no,
you can just knock over your guys now. You don't have to do that. And there is no Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no Overwatch. So I would say, unless you can figure out a way to use those for something else, instead of using Overwatch eyeballs for Overwatch, using them for, I don't know what you would need a token for.
Yeah. Well, Douglas Thoyne, he chimed in, I think coincidentally, that he reused his version 1 tokens for Warpath. So I guess there's that option. Well, once again, I don't know what you use for Warpath, so we don't know anything about Warpath. Maybe go to that other podcast we don't like to mention, and maybe they'll talk about the counters eventually. And maybe if they're listening, you guys should discuss using version 1 dead zone counters in Warpath if it is actually useful.
Yeah, because if you can download the a version of the game rules and you need to have these counters and you didn't get in on the Warpath Kickstarter, so you don't have anything.
And you don't buy the starter box there.
Yeah, but if you have the models, it would be interesting to say, okay, what you're going to need to do is for the counters. That's a good idea.
Yep. And we had another message, this time on Facebook. Richard Hall saw our Nightmares Made Into Night Terrors, which we'll discuss later. And was curious about the bases, and that's Jack's base system. And, yeah. Jack, you want to talk about your basing?
I just hope that this is Richard Hall, the famous American comedian who is, makes the rounds over in England. His dry, kind of sardonic humor. If that is the case, then I'm a fan. If it's not the case, your attempts at pretending to be him are appreciated, and we'll just between the two of us, we'll just make pretend that you are him. And what were you saying, Rob?
Your bases, the bases that you make.
Oh, yeah. I make blanks out of the Mantic bases. That the little gray ones that come with it, I throw a bunch of nonsense on top. Just whatever. I went pretty heavy with the gears. I think people would look at the bases I made and went, yes, how derivative. No breaking ground there. No shock in the world with your new and innovative bases. But I like them. And then Rob and I have both made molds, and I just make a mold and then cast resin. And I just cast resin a whole bunch of them. I can't do it in the winter. It has to be, to make the resin really work, it has to be over 70 degrees Fahrenheit and dry. So in the winter here, it just doesn't get that hot. And you know, the hotter and more direct sun, the better. It doesn't cure properly. So, yeah.
And the molds.
That's making bases.
Yep, the molds are made out of 100% silicone. You get the cock. I guess it's cock, right? Yes. You put it into a water with dish soap, blue dish soap. For some reason, blue. And you kind of mold it around because that's the way to make it so it will set. Usually, a cock doesn't set correctly. It gets sticky. And yeah, there's lots of videos on YouTube how to do it, including our own. I think we did a video. Well, you did a video about making fire. And that's the same idea, right?
And I did make a video. Well, I shot a whole bunch of footage for making bases. And then I looked foolish. I sounded foolish and everything looked like garbage. So I'm pretty terrible. So then I was like, I can't let this be seen. So there's a lot of footage shot. But it'll never make the light day.
But Rich did, use that method that I posted about the 100% silicone, made his own base mold, and he gave us a shot of him molding up some of his resin. The resin we get is because we can't get in Canada. It's hard to get, like, the real resin, like, smooth on stuff. We just get, like, Michael's. They do a two-part resin. But if you're somewhere that you can get smooth on with the really nice resins, the cheap, big vats of it, that's probably the way to go. We buy the expensive small vats of it.
Yeah, those stuff I use is for clear casting. It's enough for bases, really. you know, it's about $30 for a container, a big size container, and the hardener is another, I don't know how much, but it's really legitimately enough that you could base a strike force a couple times over with what comes in that tin.
Yep. So there you go, basing. But in that whole conversation about basing, a certain someone, this anonymous person named Tyler Schultz jumped in, and he said, shouldn't those bases be stupidly large? Because the rats are supposed to be on, especially the night terrors, are supposed to be on bigger bases. And to that, it got me mad, mostly, because I hate.
Obviously, because whoever this Tyler Schultz is, obviously doesn't listen to our show, because we've discussed this time and time again.
Yeah, he's not a fan, I can tell.
No, like, don't just wander, kid, don't wander in off the street and start lipping off. You want to start chirping, you know, hit the road.
But, so I did write a screed on how bases should not be part of line of sight. And we've discussed this many times, that they're for aesthetic purposes only, and should only hold up a model. That's their only purpose. I don't know where it started, that somehow they became part of the model. And, I understand it's supposed to represent the model moving around, but I think the pose on the model already does that. Cause, real soldiers are going to be hunkered down. They're not going to be like, look at half of our soldiers are all like akimbo or just standing stock straight up. That represents them moving around. The base does not, personally.
Yeah. I think the rules even say that, you know, that it's a line of sight game, but it's assumed that not everyone is exactly where they are. And that's why certain parts of the rules work and don't. We've discussed it time and time again. And if Tom had have been listening, that he'd have known exactly, but I think maybe a one refresher course for him to, so he can finally, do you want to just lay it out there for one last time?
Well, I want to start a movement. We're going to just right here start a movement about the no bases. No bases, no cry. No. Bases don't matter. Hashtag bases don't matter. I think that's what we're going to go with. And it's because removing the bases from line of sight, it's an easy and elegant solution, because right now everybody argues about what things should be on what bases. And I have a feeling that the new FAQ will probably have some rules about this. Even though Mantic doesn't give the right base size for half the models, and half our models are already based, we don't have to rebase our models.
I would lose my mind if after 2 years of the base, not whatever fits, and just because they released another game that uses the bases in a different way, they said, oh yeah, and for Dead Zone, we're going to need the 40 mil base for this. We're going to need this. So that's the way it's got to be. Oh, after 2 years, and now they're going to just start saying, it's not like a book change where, you know, okay, their fight stats changed. You're going to be tearing your models off of bases that you've, you know, put, you know, made nice and painted and did all the, you know, really put the flair to. I would bayonet someone's guts.
But it'd be so easy to fix. All you do is in the FAQ where it says bases are included in line of sight in the rules, all you have to do is sign page whatever, bases not included in line of sight. You just have to say the base don't matter.
And really, it isn't like – it's not like it's part of the model per se. It's just ballast. It's just to keep the model upright. If you add a big tuft of grass and someone goes, oh, I can see your model, it's because of the tuft of grass on the base. No, that's a little flourish.
So by removing the bases from the line of sight, you would encourage things like that, cool basing, and you don't have to worry about modeling for advantage or disadvantage. Cause it's not like you can put a box on your base and say you're in cover. Like the base doesn't matter. It's just for aesthetics and it's for holding your model up. That's it. Bases don't matter. Please message rules committee people, Ronnie, Mantic Games, all the social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, hashtag bases don't matter. Together we can make a difference.
Remember Adepticon 2 years ago, and we met Ronnie for the first time, and we were talking, and he had said something to me like, "Oh, what do you look forward to, whatever?" And I forget at the time what bug was up my ass. I'll have to listen to some past podcasts. I'll listen to the Adepticon one to see what it was, but at the time it was very important. And as far as I know, what I mentioned was addressed and changed, so you know it wasn't for naught. Anyways, I swear to you, 1 week from today, when I meet Ronnie again, I'm going to shake his hand, and he's going to say, "Oh, so what do you think of it?" I'm going to go, "Eh." And that's when he's going to remember. It's going to dawn on you. I know this guy. Oh, I remember this guy. And I'm going to go, "I need to hear right now, the bases are not going to be important in Dead Zone. I swear to you that I will address it right to Ronnie's face."
Like, I can't see anybody getting upset that you just changed the rule to the bases don't matter. It would just clear everything up. You could do whatever base you want. You could have no base if your model stands up, like the dog drones. Or, like, it doesn't matter. They don't matter. So, yes. So please, join our crusade. Bases don't matter. I think every time I'm going to tweet anything, I'm just going to write that at the end of it. That's going to be... We're going to get this trending.
Yeah, but see, you put a little, you put a pound sign in front of it. So like,
that's hashtag, Jack.
I don't know.
It's called social media. It's never mind. You and Wintergreen, You just go off. Let's just take a break then. Jeez. Bases don't matter.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
Bases don't matter. Anyways, welcome back. We're going to be speaking of Our Stuff. We did do things for Adepticon, so we're going to talk about them here. And the first thing we did was jet bikes, right, Jack?
That is correct. We both built a jet bike for the jet bike races that will be held at Adepticon. Pat's been eagerly anticipating it. He's looking forward to it, and he cordially invited us. And so if you go to the website, you'll be able to see jet bike, the wonder that is the jet bike.
Yes, we did themed bikes. Mine is a... Well, I don't know if it's a, it's not really an enforcer. It is a human driving it. It's a human female. And you can see that I cut the forks off, did some extra long chopperness to it. I made a racing bike with some gaudy colors, the Vinland Old Time Radio Racing Team. And, yeah, so mine's a female jet biker in the green, white, and black.
I think it's Star-Lord's sister, to be honest.
Is it?
Yeah, because if you look, she's wearing the silver mask that kind of looks like the Star-Lord mask.
It's true. Oh. It's because the mold on her I don't remember where that head came from. I think it was a third-party head. But it's the face was – that you couldn't even – there was no like definition on her nose or mouth or anything. So I was just like, I'll just paint it like she has a mask on. And you, Jack, did a –
My addition to Team Vinland Old Time Radio was a vermin. Rob had told me that, we were going to be making them all snazzy, and I decided to turn the front. What are those things that protrude out the front? What they would be called?
I call them forks, but I don't know what they're really
forks.
Called.
Well, I spun them around so that they're facing backwards and angled them out so they had kind of a wedge shape. And yeah, I modeled a little Veerman to ride atop the jet bike, much like a Ewok would in the Forest of Endor. And yeah.
What about you put the shoulder pad on the front you changed the look of it totally by doing that.
Oh yeah. I took the shoulder pad from Strider and kind of flattened it out. And thankfully I could find ones that were still the rustic instead of the hard plastic. So I was able to hot water them and mold it onto the front there. We needed room for numbers and for the decals there to really make them look like racing vehicles rather than, and I also put the cape on him flying backwards in the wind.
Yep. And, you'll see those, we'll see our results at the old, Adepticon there. And,
we'll be our Adepticon coverage. You'll be able to see them in action. Hopefully this time around, Rob isn't removed from the game first.
I wasn't the first person out, I don't think, was I? What? Yeah, maybe I was. I think it was. Anyways. And we also, were making lists the other weekend, and Jack was like, I want to make a Veerman list. So we're like, okay, we made a Veerman list. And then we went to, take all the models out to pack, and we realized, hey, we have one Night Terror, and we need four for this list. We looked for all our stuff, unmade stuff. We found one Night Terror that we hadn't created yet, but we had to make two more. So what did we do? We found some Nightmares.
Yeah, we did what hobbyists do when the chips are down. And you know what? The actual Night Terror model isn't. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but it's not to me great. The Nightmare is a far superior looking model. So just to alter its stance and change the way the weapons sit and stuff, I think I think they look better, but it was fun to do. That was the important part. What we did was we had just finished up a whole bunch of, we made some lists to make sure we had for Adepticon. We wanted to make sure we had models. We had to make sure how we were transporting them. And we were just kind of high on life and just said, you know what, let's do this. And I think they turned out pretty well.
Yep. It was a lot of modeling, a lot of cutting. And, we both went pretty extreme on the gun, but your gun on the, spitters was, some might say to the extreme.
It's like mid-90s extreme.
And there was a mix and match. You can see we have pictures of the unpainted versions with Jack's bases on there. So you can see the lighter gray model parts on them are from the original Night Terror leftover stuff. And then the other stuff is, it's all Nightmares. And
yeah.
And I did cut up the, Night Terror original one. A scythe guy. I changed the weapons angle and stuff to make them different from our other one. And then you can see the painted versions. I went bloody. Mine's jumping over a corpse for the scythe guy. And the other guy is just, he's on top of a defender shield, kind of. And what did you do for yours? You did, I think yours has a defender shield too, but you're kind of like sitting on it, kneeling
on
it.
Yeah, the thing is, to match the model with the base size was very important. So I had to model, the way he was standing and everything to make sure that, you know, the two matched. You just couldn't have, you can't use your imagination or, you know, go out of your way and do something for aesthetics in a game where, you know, making something that looks good is also like probably 50-50 to the actual rule set.
And, you did paint yours up in like a day. I was amazed. Jack's usually like, I wouldn't say he's slow, but he's deliberate in his painting. And I got off work the next day and Jack's like, mine are done. I was like, what?
I did a speed paint. It took me, I don't know, cause it was the weekend. It took me quite some time, but, I went with all his armor, one color, and I think when I sent you the picture, I still hadn't done his hat, but the rest was.
Yes. But you'll see the finished picture in the video or the website there. And
that
yeah,
is correct.
So we'll see if Jack breaks out some of Veerman for some fun. We'll see. We've been harsh on the Veerman, but they might be making an appearance.
Yeah, and I know our stuff, a very scheduled and very rigid system here we have with the I also did paint the Tangle to completion with the Progenitor on top, and that's ready to go. So you'll see. Yeah, that's probably going to be popping out at Adepticon.
That's true. And you did have some issues with your Tangle. You were working on it on, was it on the Dead Zone Monthly, or was it on one of our private hangouts?
Probably a private hangout.
You're trying to figure out how to make the all the rats and all the clothes and everything not just be brown. Everything ends up being brown.
Yeah. That was a thing, and I'm not sure I succeeded because there's some rats peeking out of a big cloth, and I just made it all soiled and gross, and I wanted to make sure the rats popped out a little bit and where they were, but I don't know if I succeeded. Well, it doesn't look terrible. I'm not going to hawk it into the sea and hopefully, some sea life is choked to death. You know, it doesn't deserve that fate. I think I would put it on the table and go, yeah, I did that.
And you still haven't magnetized the what's this called? You're thinking about doing that, but right now you say he kind of stands on it fine.
Yeah, his feet go into little recesses, and I think I can play with them without gluing him down or magnetizing, because I don't think I have it in me to successfully, even with pilot holes, to really, I'm scared.
And did you modify the Tangle? I can't remember did you move down the forks or did you leave them where they were supposed to be?
Who knows? The Tangle did not. It's part metal, part resin, and
pain in the ass.
it fit together reasonably, and I end up I put a base underneath it. Hopefully, it's the appropriate base size for the model itself, so that I'm not flaunting the rules. But I wanted to put something underneath where the mice would be. The bottom mice were running around, and I built a column in the center, attaching the platform to that base, and it was a whole thing. There's gaps and stuff I filled in, so yeah, whether the metal parts would be in the same spots exactly, probably not, but I didn't go crazy.
Hashtag bases don't matter. That's I'm gonna add that into your middle
hashtag.
Yes. So Wintergreen, what's our next section here? We have one last section. Please introduce it for us, you old person.
And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Oh, that was just mean.
That was. It used to be like, hey, Wintergreen, thanks for being a swell guy. Now it's like, you're old.
I've never felt that way about him. He's always been old to me. Well, anyways, thank you, Wintergreen.
He's like the queen, you know. Like I've seen pictures of her young, but like I'm old, and I only remember her being old. So like it's as if she came out of the womb. It's like she pried her way out and was like, "Well, hello." You don't think Wintergreen the same thing, and he comes, "Hey, hello."
That didn't sound anything like him.
Well, no, I'm not Rich Little.
So we do have a review now that you've gone through a whole Wintergreen's thing. We did get sent, thanks to a listener, and we did get sent some Dead Zone mod cubes from the mod cubes, and we'll have the link to them on their site to buy them yourself. And these mod cubes, they're a modular dice system where you can change the sides of the dice for whatever game you're playing. And they made a Dead Zone version.
Yes, we discussed them in theory our last episode. And like Rob said, one of our listeners said, hey, I know that guy. We can hook you up. And after I said, oh, bullshit. No, lo and behold, a little box showed up, and inside was some very nice mod cubes.
Yes, and we have to thank Christopher Richardson, who's also known as Damian Smith on Facebook. He sent the guy from Mod Cubes the idea for the Dead Zone things and got us in contact with him. And it is thank you to him that we got some Mod Cubes to test out. And Jack, how did you like the Mod Cubes?
Well, the first thing, when we opened up the box, the mod cubes come in pieces, but they're constructed out of one cleverly designed piece that connects together, and then all the little the faces come as small flat pieces. Very, very, like, I could not get over how ingeniously simple, but the results were so good. You just open up the box and it's like these little pile of these one little pieces. You think, how, why? And well, by the time I finished reading the directions, because that's how I am, Rob had already put one together because that's how he is. It was like that.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard. I just put them together and I didn't read the instructions. I did have to read the instructions sort of how to take one apart, but so
spoilers.
Easy.
Spoilers.
But we could make, out of the box, we got enough to make a set of command dice, one set, with a few extra. I think there was more than you needed for command dice. I think there were 6 command dice you could make, which nobody ever needs 6. I think max you need would be 5, right? Yeah, 3 plus 2, yeah.
Yes.
But we were able to have 6, just in case you lose one, I guess. And plus we had a whole set of 8, you can make, what are they called? The item boxes for the, just like the resin boxes we had for version 1, you can kind of do the same thing for this. So you open up, you take a little insert off the top and you can see what the box is. It's very cool. We were able to make a whole set of those out of it. And we tested them out. And I personally love the boxes because it's such a good idea. And when something we didn't have, we were using version 1 item tokens still, because we're that far behind and we didn't care that much. We were using the resin ones because we don't like using cardboard on our mat that much. So we were using the old resin ones, but now we can use the mod cubes. We don't have to play old school.
Yeah. The physical cube itself, we were using the old ones because it looked like the train and it added like, line of sight and cover and everything like that. It was a crate on the game that happened to have a mechanic. These fill that same void. So like we're going to jump. We went from version 1. Now we were like simian creatures with a bone battering other bones on the ground. And now we've just leapt to the space age where we're battering bones with other bones, but like in a cool spaceship.
And then we throw it up in the air and then it turns into the obelisk.
That is correct.
And you liked the command dice because you liked the way it rolled, eh? You really enjoyed them.
You know what? I they look good. The set that we got, and thanks again, the set that we were sent are black and red and they look dynamite. They just look
good. The actual cubes, the actual cube part is black, and then the inserts for the command dice are red, yeah.
And they showed in the instructions multicolored ones and stuff. And for other games, I'm sure that – but the black and red really popped. But the if they're big enough, and you can see what the what you roll. The face is big enough that you can see from a distance. It's very plain, very obvious what it is you rolled, and – They're just nice, and I think we have enough for one person to have a set. But I'm saying right now, at Adepticon, Mod Cube's going to be there. From what I hear, I've heard that rumor.
Yep.
And I will be opening up my purse strings and
the moths will fly out. The moths and the wild animal noises from the inside of there, that the wild place where no one ever goes.
Yes, yes. I will fish in there, and I will take out, and I'll just bite the edge to make sure it's real, and I will be handing it off because I do think that they are fantastic. If you just looking at them, and it took almost no time to build them, and I think we're going to take them to Adepticon so we could use them. They look dynamite, and I think. And Rob had to take one apart. He had put two of the same face in one thing. And so it's not like you're limited once you build them for this. But, oh, okay. If there's a rule change or some other thing happens, I'm sure an updated version, you'll be able to pop, pop, pop back in action.
Yeah, it's very cool. We were thinking about also, we play Shadows of Brimstone. We were thinking about you could do individual, like each person has a certain hit range on a D6. So you could like make all the blank sides not hits and then the hits on the other ones and want crits and stuff. Like they're so useful for other games too. If you use D6s, and I don't think they'll be able to make a D8 version, but that'd be very cool.
Yeah, it's in the name, Mod Cube. It's not a mod. If the company's name was Mod Decahedron, and then, you know, then you'd got something. But
so you think they're limited themselves because they called themselves Mod Cubes?
Well, it's modify and cube put together. That's kind of,
I thought it was modern, like mods, like the 60s fashion trend.
Maybe.
So I thought it was like,
we'll have to ask.
Yeah, it was like a hip.
we'll spend all our valuable time speaking to whomever is at the booth, making crude references to the name of the company. I'm sure that'll endear us to him.
And that's what we do. That's our thing.
At some time, you'll just go, give me those back.
Yeah. So I think that's a show, Jack.
That is a show. That I don't know how good it was. I think we had to get this one out because Adepticon coverage is going to be the next thing you hear after this. You've just wrapped this up. You've went, oh, that was a show. The next things you're going to hear is our nonsense, either starting from as we travel, small updates to, hey, we made it. Hey, if you're here, you want to meet up. It's going to be little things.
Do you think we should do a video blog, like a vlog series?
Oh, yes. Except for we can't do that thing where you're, you know, holding the camera up and like spinning around.
Oh, yes, we can.
And we have to have a no jump cut rule.
Oh, well, we won't be able to edit anything. It'll all be all live because we're going to be doing it on our phones. So. And yes, please. Go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast. You thought I was going to say something else, but no. And do come to Mantic Open Night because it seems like we might be a featured table to come play us for some Dead Zone. We may have been roped in by Community Pat to be like one of those people that sits up on the above the water and gets balls thrown at them, but instead we're playing Dead Zone. Same idea though. Or like a kissing booth, but with playing Dead Zone.
I don't want to go to the kissing booths you go to if someone's balls are getting put at you.
I just don't know what to say about you. I think you should go to patreon.com/deadzonepodcast and support us, Jack. That's your punishment for that comment.
I think the crushing, just the weight of the financial burden that is the hosting of this podcast has been 3 years in the making, to where, quite frankly, I think sleeping tablets and a bottle of whiskey is about the only way we'll ever escape. But with just a little help, just the tiniest little whiffer.
You're starting to sound like a PBS pledge drive.
And you know what? That's what I always thought that I would like to do.
You've always wanted to be a PBS pledge drive person?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we're trying to make your dreams come true right here, Jack. We're a Make-A-Wish Foundation for your dreams.
But I would prefer like take a wish, barter a wish, barter a wish. Okay. Either way, please, if you can, enter the Top Hats and Monocles Club and take your rightful place amongst the gods that preside there now.
That's true. the Pantheon. And don't forget, hashtag bases don't matter. We have to get this done. Rules committee, you don't listen to us, but please, maybe someone who has some influence on them, tell them it's so much easier. Avoid all the arguments. Just say bases don't matter. And with that, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
We'll see you at AdeptCon, or you'll hear from us at AdeptCon. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What? No swearing?
I love you all.
I'm gonna beep that one for sure.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Jack!
Is that you, the ghost of Christmas past?
No, I'm the ghost of podcast future.
I'm intrigued. Do tell me more.
The future of podcasts is Vinland Old Time Radio. I know it sounds oxymoronic, but it's not.
Where can I find this podcast?
Vinland Old Time Radio. Podbean.com.
And how many doubloons will that cost me?
It's free, unlike my soul. Bye, Dagonia, bye.
You, boy, what day is it today?
It's Canada Day, it seems.
Well, go buy that biggest Christmas goose in the window.
That makes no sense. I'm just taking your money and leaving.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.